How are we doing? So, Father, I think he was back there maybe 68. Was that you, Father, who said, how do you bring him to that magical, we're going to talk about that? That's something I'm really fixated on. How do we concretize that? And it is a process. Obviously, authentic conversion occurs because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But as Dr. Dan said, that there's certainly things that we as the church disciples can do, and we're going to unpack that. But before we do that, I'm going to put you to work. Here's what I need you to do. When I say go, don't start going, oh. When I say go, I'm going to ask you to get together with a certain number of people. And what I need you to deal with is this particular question. You're going to have only 2 minutes to do it. And again, there is a reason for the madness for how much time. Actually, now I'm going to give you 5 minutes because you're going to need a little bit more time to really unpack this. But these are the two questions that I'd like you to address. In practical terms, what does evangelization accomplish? Somebody went, oh my God. Okay, that's what I really want you to wrestle with. What does it really accomplish? And then how do you know when you have accomplished it? I ask this of parish staff when I do parish staff trainings all the time, and the number one answer I get is, well, you never really are done evangelizing. But that's not true. Because if the apostles had to keep working with the same people, they would have never been able to leave Jerusalem. So there is an ending point. So I want you to wrestle with that, and you'll have 5 minutes. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go with just another partner at the table. I don't want this to be a conversation at the table. I want this to be one-on-one. So at your table, you've got to find someone. If there's odd number at your table, look around for somebody else who doesn't have a partner and just grab them, someone close to you. Okay? You have 5 minutes. Ready, set, go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hands up. Okay, some of you still have your hands down and you're talking. Hands up. All right, hands down. So, in practical terms, what does evangelization accomplish? Just blurt it out. One word answers. Relationship with Jesus. Oh, sure. Use the buzzwords. Come on. What else?
Heaven or hell?
Heaven or hell? Building the kingdom of God. Conviction. Conversion. Healthy church. Random back. Did you say whiskey?
Security, table 557, grab 57 there.
Okay. You people, you've been sitting too long. Way too long. So let's move forward here if we can. When we're talking about actual goal of evangelization, we're doing the work of evangelization. When I look at a person and I want to do evangelization, there we go. You know, it's so funny. The bishop, he already nailed this first reading. It's not fair when you get to go first because you get to use all the good readings. You know what I'm saying? But the joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. It's an encounter. It's more than just, well, gosh, let me teach you about the person of Jesus Christ. It has to be the encounter. As you guys always said, being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person. So let me give you a very practical visual for what that looks like. Bill, can I borrow you for a second? Bill's like, why did I sit up here?
I didn't have a choice.
I know you didn't have a choice. And I usually never pick people in the front row, but time, you know. So here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to put your hand out here like we're going to clasp hands, okay? Now, what I want you to do is close your eyes. And you're going to have to scream it out loud, and I'll kind of say it again so you guys can hear it. But close your eyes. Don't cheat, man. You know where you go if you cheat. That's right, buddy. That's right. Milwaukee. So anyway, here goes. I'd like you to describe what you experience in your hand right now.
Air.
Air. Anything else? Nothing, right? Nothing. Okay, you can open your eyes. Isn't that what our kids are experiencing when they go through the sacraments? That's not the way it's supposed to be. One more time, Bill. Close your eyes. And this time, when you experience something, feel free to begin to start screaming it out loud what you experience, okay? Now, wouldn't it be funny if I just walked away? But anyway, all right, just stick with me, Bill.
Your hand.
What else?
A grip.
What does it feel like?
You're pulling me.
Okay. You see, that's the difference. When we're talking about the work of evangelization is the mission of uniting his heart to the heart of Christ. And until we accomplish that, we're not done evangelizing. Give Bill a hand. Everywhere I go, I see parishes doing, if we're lucky, 30% of discipleship training with zero evangelization. We live what I call the great assumption, that just because we've baptized them, they've got everything that they need. And yet our kids are growing up now being sacramentalized more so than they are being evangelized. And so this is a challenging thing for us because we're so used to doing things a certain way, right? We're so used to accomplishing things the way we need to be done. What we're about now has to be more than just learning from a book. I'm not saying that this looks like anyone here. But those who encountered Jesus knew it. Remember Zacchaeus? I relate to Zacchaeus because he wanted to see Jesus and he climbed up the tree and he saw him walking by and he encountered the Lord when the Lord turned to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to spend the day with you. And Zacchaeus is thinking, I'm a sinner. Why would you want to be with me? And he climbs down this tree. And the minute he hits the ground, he comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I'm prepared to give 50% of what I got away to pay back for everything I've done wrong. Before he hit the ground, he knew that he was in the presence of the Lord. Before he hit the ground, he'd already made a decision that he had to make right all the things he had done wrong. Before he hit the ground, he knew he was in the presence of the Lord. There was no doubt. But how many of our people are going up in our parishes and they're going, is God real? Does Jesus exist? It's happening everywhere, is it not? That's because we're failing to do that piece of evangelization. We're failing to connect them with the heart of God. Because as Dr. Dan said, the person who makes a disciple is the Holy Spirit using us. But if we don't connect them to the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? I believe we're teaching them how to play church. This is going to be hard. If we're going to retool, if we're going to become different than what we've normally done, we're going to have to die to ourselves in a certain way. I gave you that hand clasp illustration. You know, Matthew 28. It's this very interesting thing that Jesus says. Remember, he's on the mountaintop. He's there. He's hanging out with his guys. He's getting ready to go. He goes, guys, I got to leave. I got to go. But where are you going? I mean, you just got back. You've only been with us for 40 days. Where are you leaving? I need to go to heaven and be by the hand of my Father. But then he goes on, he makes this statement, I'm going to be with you always. Right? Remember? And then Jesus walks over, takes that cloud elevator up. The apostles are standing there going, I hate when he does that. He leaves. He's gone. Why are you leaving? And then you told us you're going to be with us, but how can you be with us if you're leaving? I don't understand. But you know, he did say something else earlier. He said, I'm going to die on Friday and rise on Sunday. And he did that. So guys, let's go to Jerusalem. And they prayed and they waited for the Holy Spirit. But here's the question. Now, those of you guys whose churches I've been to and you've already heard this, you're not allowed to scream this out. Cheaters. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles at Pentecost, who do they recognize? Come on, don't be afraid. Jesus. Absolutely Jesus. The mystery of the Trinity. Thomas goes to Jesus. Master, show us the Father. Come on, Thomas, really? You've been with me for 3 years. Haven't you figured it out yet? When you see me, you see the... And so obviously, if you feel me in your heart, that burning desire that sister was talking about, guess who you also feel? The Holy Spirit. So conversely, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, they get it. They're in there. They're in amongst the millions of people, and they're praying or waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit lights them up, and all of a sudden, it's like those kids in the book Hook. It's like, he's here. He's here. Only he's here in an entirely different way. We're so used to the flesh that we don't know how to go beyond the flesh back to the Spirit. He's here in the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, in salvation history, this is the time of the Spirit. This is the time where he's been given to us to complete the work. And so therefore, our job is to help our parishioners, everyone that the Lord puts in our path, to come into intimate union with Christ through life in the Spirit. That is the mission of evangelization. Hook them up. Connect that heart with the love of God, the Spirit, as sister said. Connect. But that costs us. And we've been trained in a world where we want to be able to do ministry without it having to cost us. Wouldn't you say that's true? That's a hard word, but it's a true word. It's so easy to run a program, and it's so easy for me to stand up here and just play the role of the deacon and never once let you see the truth of me. I could play the role. You could play the role of whatever your office is in the church. You could do that. And they could never see who you really are. But you see, that's what we've been talking about, this whole idea of testimony. But I'm going to tell you another really hard truth. If you don't know much about me, I just kind of get to the brass tacks, and we don't have a lot of time because he's a madman over there, and he's got this clock in front of us, and it says, you better stop on time or you will die. Okay, so let me just get right to it. We can give you, and that's what I'm going to do over the next session before dinner. We're going to unpack very practical ways of what we do to lead someone to conversion, to connect, to make that connection. But here's the truth. The truth is that I could show you all kinds of stuff. We could give you all kinds of books. There's all gazillion types of books out there. But the truth is, you're only going to go as far as the fear enables you to. Whatever the fear is for you, whatever it is that Satan has your number on keeping you bound and not able to respond, that fear is how far you'll go. Isn't it true? I'm sitting next to a stranger in church. Will I reach over and say hello? I'm afraid of all that stuff. I don't do that stuff. It's very easy for me to walk away. Jesus, let me serve you, but only let me do it within my comfort zone. But the truth is, if we're going to go out, if we're going to do things different, listen, it's very easy to sit back and just relax and tell the people to come to us. The work of relational ministry is hard. It's hard. You've got to sacrifice time, time you'd rather spend someplace else. But then again, if Dr. Dan is right, which he is, we give Christ everything, including our time. And so if we're going to do this authentic conversion and encounter with Christ, we better sure as heck be ready to walk that journey. Because there's people starving to want to know if he's real. But you know what the deal is? I remember as an arrogant high school student, I said, big deal, Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago. What's he doing for me today? Because I didn't know that Jesus was around here. I didn't know that he was around. I didn't know how to experience that in the spirit. I only knew how to do the stuff of church, the rules. But you and I both know that all you have to do is be married for just a little while, and you and your spouse, you can just start living the rules and close your hearts, can you not? And then love no longer flows. The best gift we can give is that love of God. But if we have been wounded by the world and we've done what the world told us to do is put on the mask and build the walls and then try to minister from behind our walls, we have no interest in loving the people we're trying to save. The interest is us first. We're going to have to go there. We're going to have to do that work if we really want to make an impact in a profound way. People are afraid to share their testimony. Why? Because it to share our brokenness. Isn't that true? And yet, that's why the scriptures are clear. We are going to defeat the kingdom of Satan with two things, the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints. As Dr. Dan said and Sister talked this morning, you already have everything you need, a heart that loves and the spirit that desires to flow through you. The only thing we got to do is get out of the way. Amen? Amen. We got to get it done. The Emmaus brothers, remember the hearts of the Emmaus brothers on fire? They couldn't see the Lord, just like we can't see the Lord. But all of a sudden, when they're going back saying, how did we miss him? What did they say? We're not our burning. That connection has to be accomplished. It's got to be accomplished. We got to make sure we know that everyone is connect, and we got to figure out what does that look like? How do we know? Well, you tell me. How do you know when you're done evangelizing? Their heart's burning. You see evidence. Acts chapter 8. Philip was in Samaria and he preached the gospel. And what happened? They believed and then he baptized them in the name of the Lord. But what did he do? You see, if it was just a matter of me going to the people in Samaria and let me baptize you, great. And then I'd say, all right, God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. And then I walk off and keep doing my evangelistic journey. That's not what Philip did. Philip baptized them and then he watched. He looked for what? Evidence. Evidence of what? Evidence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And it's accomplished in two forms. Natural manifestations of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, fruits of the Holy Spirit. We give these to our kids to memorize in confirmation, but we never tell them what they're for. It's true. Sorry, I'm just saying it. And then the second thing is supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 11. But we're afraid of those. Maybe you guys aren't. You're not afraid of anything. But you see what I'm saying? When's the last time we gave sacraments to our children and looked for evidence? Really, the evidence is we look at our kids get confirmed, and what do they want to do? Be disciples of Christ? No, they want to leave the church. Why? Because we're lacking the connection. You got to put the cornerstone first. Then we got this other weird thing that you're going to have to wrestle with. And that is that, you know, we've got programs that tell us in this year, we got to talk about X. And year two, we got to talk about Y. And year three, you see what I'm saying? And where does evangelization fit in there? How are you going to do that? That's why I don't do your job anymore. Just saying. I tried for 7 years and it was either leave or suicide. So I left. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm still here. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into some table groups now. I want you to wrestle with what are some of the challenges of achieving the goals of evangelization. Look at the landscapes of your churches. Look at the way you do church, the way you are church, the way we're supposed to be making disciples intentionally. But right now, we kind of gotten in this rut where we're just going through programs, and the fruit of our programs, it's not what we want, not like we would like to see, right? So wrestle with this. Break it open. Talk about it. It's like we're in a rut and we're going to have to jump out if we're going to be successful. What's that look like? You got 10 minutes. Go.